for help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare our hearts and minds to meet him in worship. God is good.
All the time.
It's a joy to greet you in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus the Christ this morning. We welcome you to First Baptist Church of Elon. And if you're a visitor with us today, we especially extend that welcome to you and encourage you, if you'd like to know more about our church, to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. We also have on the back of the pew in front of you, right next to the visitor cards, are prayer cards. If you have any needs that you'd like to lift up, we have a prayer team and our deacons as well that gather every Sunday to lift up prayers for those who are in need or those who want to celebrate and give thanks to God. You may be noticed, hopefully you were able to navigate your way through all the tables this morning. It's like the money changers out there, but for very good causes. I hope that you'll take time as you leave today to look at some of those opportunities. One of them that may not make immediate sense to you if you're new is all the ugly ties. Every year the royal ambassadors have an ugly tie contest, and you vote with your money. Whoever collects the most money for their ugly tie, they win. And what's the prize? The prize is the first place tie I have to wear, the second place tie David has to wear, and I guess you're gonna have to wear a tie too, Gay. The third place tie will go to you. You can wear it around your head. So make sure you take a look at those as well, and a little bit later, we're going to hear about one of those tables, the stew table. That's a tradition in this church as well. Tonight, I want to remind you that we have at 5:45 our adult Bible study time for the next several weeks. We'll be using a Cooperative Baptist Fellowship of North Carolina curriculum called The Body of Christ, and it's focused on issues of race and reconciliation. And quite a lot of opportunity for discussion and discovery, scripture reflection, and also a video as a part of that, something to get us thinking about those issues as a congregation. I hope that you will come out, even if you've never been to a Sunday evening adult Bible study, you are invited to come today. As we worship, it is the Lord's party in this place, and it is He who invites you to worship.
The opening scripture this morning is Psalms 106, 1 through 6. Praise the Lord, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Who can proclaim the mighty acts of the Lord or fully declare His praise? Blessed are those who act justly, who always do what is right. Remember me, Lord, when you show favor to your people. Come to me, to my aid, when you save them, that I may enjoy the prosperity of your chosen ones, that I may share in the joy of your nation and the joy of your inheritance in giving praise. We have sinned even as our ancestors did. We have done wrong and acted wickedly.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father God, we praise you with words of thanksgiving in our mouths and in our hearts, words which can never really do justice to the depth of your care for us. We rejoice in your blessing, yet we often so fall so short in our lives in living up to them. Like your people of old, we often try to design you in our own image or in ways that we can control. But knowing these failures as you do, you still love us despite us. Father God, as we gather here today, we do not deserve the gifts that you give. We only receive them and respond with them, knowing that Jesus Christ intercedes for us. We gather in this place guided by your Holy Spirit in this time of worship. May this be a proclamation of our thanks to you in word, in spirit, and in truth. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Come Thou Fount, Come Thou King.
Come thou fount of heaven, take my heart to sing thy praise. Streams of words. Well, I have a couple things here. Why do you think I have these? Everybody see them? No, I didn't bake them. I cheated. Why would we have these? What are they? Cupcakes? Why do you usually have cupcakes? All right, let me give you another hint. What is this? Maybe y'all can see this a little bit. Everybody, somebody might be able to see it. What's it say at the top? I'm invited. So if you get that, you're invited. What do you think, what is that called? An invitation. Ding, 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 ding. Say it.
An invitation.
An invitation. So we're talking about an invitation this morning. Yes. So what kind of invitations can you get? What kind of invitations do you get? Birthday party? What else? Do you get them to anything else? No? How about to a slumber party? What's that? They're like, what in the world is that? A sleepover. You ever go to a sleepover? No, maybe that's in the past. I used to do those. How about to a swim party? No? How about to... Help me out, y'all. A wedding. How about to a wedding? No? All right, let's see. All right, let's try this. How about raise your hand if you love parties. Do you love to go to parties? Raise your hand. Y'all don't like to go to parties? All right, do y'all like to go to parties? Raise your hand, all right? Y'all do this with them. All right, keep your hand raised if you like to go to parties. These two don't like to go to parties. So Jennifer, Denise, don't take them to parties anymore. They get invited to a party, don't take them. Okay, now, I love to go to parties too. All right, now leave your hand up. Touch your nose if you like birthday parties. Keep your hand up, use your other hand. Keep your hand up. Touch your nose if you like to go to birthday parties. Bob your head if you like to go to slumber parties or sleepovers. Adults probably don't like that. Okay, all right, now. Lift your foot up if you like to go to swim parties. Okay? Now, wiggle your, wiggle all over if you like Christmas parties. Yeah, all right. Good job. Now, Luke, you told me this morning you love Christmas. So you like Christmas parties. Yes? Oh, it depends on what type of party. And whose party? That's the key. Whose party it is, right? Well, we're going to talk about the king's party this morning. Mason is preaching on Matthew 22, 1 through 14. And in that scripture, it talks about the king. And he wanted to have a party for his son was getting married. And so the king sent out all of his servants or his messengers to go out and invite all these important people, all their friends and everybody to the reception for his son. And you know how many people showed up to that? Take a wild guess how many people showed up. No one, that's right. Nobody showed up. And the king was so upset. He was like, oh my gosh, my son's going to get married and nobody's come. So he sent his messengers out, his servants out into the town. He said, invite anybody and everybody you see. So they went out, they invited anybody and everybody. And there was a reception full of people. But did they know those people? No, they didn't know any of them. But he was happy he had a party full of people. So if you're having a wedding and there's nobody showing up, it's just a dinner. If you have a birthday party and nobody shows up, it's just a birthday. If you have a sleepover and nobody shows up, it's just going to bed, isn't it? So the king was that upset. So everybody came and they had a grand old time. Well, in this story, let me get to this part here. The And it's like going to heaven. It's kind of like now going to heaven. Way back in the Old Testament, God chose the Jews as the chosen people. They only invited the ones that were very special. Jesus, but when Jesus came to heaven, he invited, it was open up to anybody. So it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or not. The invitation's always open to come. So let's pray. Okay. Dear Father, thank you for inviting us to join you in your heavenly celebration. If there are any children here today that have not accepted your invitation, we pray today that this will be the day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. After church, you're welcome to come get some cupcakes. Okay? I only have 12. Go to your seats. Y'all keep.
Now it's my turn. I bet you know what I'm here for. It's to remind you of Stu. It's that time of year. And I thought I would do it a little bit differently this year. I'm going to give you a Stu test. Okay? You know, hands-on. You talked about it in Sunday school. Who can tell me what this is? Dipper. A dipper. After you cook the stew, someone has to dip the stew out of the big pots and pour them into the little containers and then put the tops on them. So we need people to dip the stew. We need people to wipe off the containers because the people who pour the stew and dip it sometimes spill a little bit. And we need someone to put the tops on the stew pot, the stew containers, so that we can have them ready to go out to everyone. Another question. Stir the stew. And we have three of these stirrers. We may have three pots of stew this year. We're not sure, but may just have two. But either way, we're ready. As soon as they turn the heat on in those big pots that are outside under the shelter outside, they're big pots in that aluminum, those aluminum boxes that are out there. They take the covers off only at stew time. And then somebody, as soon as they turn the heat on, the gas on under those pots, someone has to stir constantly. This is a pretty heavy spoon. And you have to keep it going around and around in the pot. Only special people can do this. We need people to cook the meat to go into the stew. We need people to call, order, and take orders for the stew. We need people to sell the stew and get it ready. So we've got lots of jobs for anybody who is willing to help us with this. Let's see if that's going to stay up. Yeah, okay, it will. Okay, I will be outside in the foyer this morning. I've got four more lists of people that need to be called because we actually call all of our church members and take orders. I also have some stew order sheets. Lots of our church members will take an order sheet and ask their friends and their family and their neighbors if they want to order stew. So if you want one of these, I have those too. And I have the sign-ups to cook the meat and all the good stuff that has to be done to get the stew ready. So you now, if you're on Jeopardy and they show this picture, you will know which question. That is a, I know, what is a stew dipper? You'll know it. Okay, and what is a stew stirrer? Okay. I was also told by the RA leaders that if I would mention the ugly pie, the ugly tie contest, they would give me $5. So I mentioned. No, I will not take the $5. I'll put it in the ugly tie contest fund. But do vote as you're going out today. Thank you.
Our offertory hymn is What a Friend We Have in Jesus. Let's stand and sing. 182.
Dear Lord, how wonderful it is to know that we have a friend in Jesus, Lord. Thank you for always being there for us, no matter what we go through, Lord, to know that you're always there to answer our prayers. I ask your blessing upon this church. Please bless these gifts and the givers. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
I invite you to hear again the words of Scripture from Philippians 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Let us pray. O God of peace, we pause now in silence so that each of us might be honest with you, might be confessional about our shortcomings. And so we pray. God of peace, we hear those words of challenge to continue doing the things that we have learned and seen and heard, the things we've witnessed in the life of people like Paul, and even more so like your son, Jesus. We often miss the mark. We often take wrong turns. We see what we need to do and we turn away or we walk away. Oh God, we confess that we need your mercy and grace. We stand by your forgiveness and your love alone. We celebrate and give you thanks for a love that knows no end, a mercy that is unfailing. And by the strength of that mercy and grace, Lord, help us to learn to do better, to live life to the full in obedience to you, to have hearts overflowing with love for you and a love of doing the things that you call us to do. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord, as we come now to your word to wrestle with its meaning and its purpose for our life, we pray that you help us to focus. If you would shake away all the distractions, all the worries from a week to come, things we know we have to get done, our to-do lists are long. Help us to shake off the distractions of regrets and thoughts about the week that's passed, things we wish we could have accomplished but didn't, things we said or did we wish we hadn't. And Lord, allow us to be in this moment with you and to hear you. In Jesus' name, amen. Our scripture for the sermon comes to us from Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, that Gay was sharing earlier. I'll read the story as is. It says simply, "Once more Jesus spoke to them in parables, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who gave a wedding banquet for his son. He sent his slaves to call those who had been invited to the wedding banquet, but they would not come. Again, he sent other slaves, saying, "Tell those who have been invited, look, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fat calves have been slaughtered, and everything is ready. Come to the wedding banquet." But they made light of it and went away, one to his farm, another to his business, while the rest seized his slaves, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged. He sent his troops, destroyed those murderers, and burned their city. Then he said to his slaves, "The wedding is ready, but those invited were not worthy. Go, therefore, into the main streets and invite everyone you find to the wedding banquet." Those slaves went out and into the streets and gathered all whom they found, both good and bad. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guest, he noticed a man there who was not wearing a wedding robe. And he said to him, "Friend, how did you get in here without a wedding robe?" And he was speechless. Then the king said to the attendants, "Bind him hand and foot and throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us stand together as we sing our hymn of response. Right? You got it? I don't need to explain this one at all, do I? I had a New Testament professor who used to teach the various books of the Gospels, and after each one, he would offer a sermon to interpret how one might preach. And this was his text, and he did not joke. He literally read the story, said the word of God for the people of God. Everybody said, "Thanks be to God." And he said, "Are you sure?" And then he sat down. Sermon over. It's a peculiar passage, isn't it? So many things going on here. On the one hand, we have people who are freely invited to the party, but life complicates their presence. I mean, that's so transparently obvious in our world, where things like coming to a party like worship is what we do if we do not have anything else going on. If there's nothing else going on, I'll be there this Sunday. Life gets in the way. Jobs get in the way. Hobbies get in the way. There's certainly a sermon there. Then we're told that those who did not have time for the master did not have much regard for them. There's certainly a convicting, evangelistic warning in there. Then we're told that he goes out into the streets and just whomever, whosoever will come, can come. And he says, good and bad. No distinction between the good ones and the bad ones. They all get an invitation. They all are welcome to come in. But then this last part, you know, Sometimes you hear a sermon and you say to yourself, he probably should have stopped there. But Jesus does not. He continues the parable with this alarming story about the king coming in and all the guests who've been freely invited showed up. He asked them to come, and then here is this one guy who's not dressed appropriately. And so he's bound up, hands and feet, and thrown out of the party, thrown out into the street, thrown out into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. What do we make of this? We certainly know from other teachings of Jesus, from the teachings of Paul and Peter and John, we certainly know that grace does not have a price tag. We certainly know that we do not have a works righteousness that we receive, where if we do all the right things and say all the right things and behave well, that we will make it into the party. We know that that's not the case, and yet here we have to take seriously Jesus' ending of the parable and the man who was thrown out of the party for not dressing appropriately, for not meeting the expectations. We know that good and bad people are here, so it's not about behavior. There's something else at play here, some other layer that Jesus is adding to our understanding of grace and the life of a disciple. You all know what it's like to be in a place by grace, don't you? Perhaps you know specifically what it's like to be in a party by grace, a place where you got no business being. Have you ever been invited to be around a group of people who are out of your league? And you know that you're not there by your own accomplishments or your own charisma or your own standing in the community, that you've been invited because you knew someone who knew those people who were so well-to-do. I had this experience when I was a student at Campbell University. It was my junior year. I was the president of the Baptist Student Union. And some politicians and dignitaries were coming to campus along with a very well-noted Christian preacher. It was a week, a series of lectures that were being given. And they wanted the president of the Baptist Student Union to be there. And so I got a call to come to Hank Dunbar's office, who was at that time legal counsel for the university. And he says, now, you're going to have to learn how to act. We want you there, but we want you to put on a very good impression. So he gave me some rules of etiquette, and he gave me a little book about how to behave in public spaces. And then he said, and listen now, I don't want a repeat of RA Day. I want you to dress well. Now, you don't know what he's referring to. You see, just a few months before this, the Royal Ambassador Day was held at Campbell, where royal ambassadors from all over the state come together for a day at Campbell, and I was there to preach. I was supposed to offer the message, again, as the prez of BSU. And I show up right at the moment wearing cowboy boots, blue jeans, and a flannel shirt. Terry Michael Newell, then the campus minister, just looked at me and said, well, thanks for dressing up. He, wearing a black suit, black tie, white shirt, everyone else on the panel dressed to the nines, and here's the hick from Hogwaller, North Carolina. And Hank said, now, I don't want a repeat of RA Day. He said, I want you wearing a coat and a tie. This is a black tie affair. I said, Hank, I don't own a coat. I've got a tie and some khaki pants. He said, no. You will be expected to dress well. So Hank pulls out his measuring tape and makes a few notations. I was a lot thinner back then. I'd been praying the prayer of Jabez. You know what that is? Lord, expand my boundaries. But back then, it didn't take as much cloth to cover me. And so the next day, the day of the dinner, there hanging on the door to the house I was living in was a black suit, white shirt, black tie, and just a note that said, put it on. I came to the party, to the banquet hall there in the special nice room in the cafeteria where you were not allowed to ever go, and found my place, white tablecloths, plates, more than one, I noticed that right away, and forks and forks and spoons and knives, an array of things that I had no idea. And as soon as I saw that, I knew I was out of my league. I was there by sheer grace and hospitality. I had no business, the hick from Hogwaller, being in such a setting. So Dunbar just leans over and says, start on the outside and work your way in. Has anybody ever heard that before? About halfway through the meal, he realized that was not quite good enough. So he just leaned over and says, just do what I do and try to keep quiet. I was invited by grace, but even in the midst of grace, I was expected to behave a certain way, wasn't I? And it's only fair, after all, it was not my party. And I had no rights to be there and no business to be there. I think what Jesus is really saying is not about salvation or achieving grace. He's saying you are invited to the kingdom by grace, but God expects you to change. He really expects us to change. He expects us to do certain things and to not do other things, not to buy grace, but as a response to grace. That's the life of the disciple. It's not a life where we are constantly trying to pay enough to stay into the party. Not a life of constantly trying to do enough good to be good. I often have heard people say the Christian life is not about bad people becoming good, but dead people coming to life. And when you are alive, you don't act dead anymore, do you? When you are alive, you don't behave like a dead person. You are expected to breathe, to speak, to move, to act. Jesus is simply saying that in response to the love and grace of God, behave. Behave as you are expected to behave. Learn to live as a faithful disciple. I'll never forget the first time I mustered up the guts and the courage to share the gospel with someone. 10th grade year in high school, and we had a teacher, a substitute teacher in the room, which meant all chaos ensued. And everybody was left to sort of do their own thing. I can say that because the substitute teacher was my aunt. And she was a pushover. I love her. So where we were, just having casual conversation, and I found myself beside one of the biggest bullies and one of the biggest roughnecks in the school, who was notorious for all types of creative depravity. And I said, you know what? I'm going to do it. And he's going to get saved, and it's going to be glorious. Well, that's not quite how it happened. I pulled out my little tract that had the four spiritual laws. Does anybody remember that one? And I shared all the four spiritual laws with him and told him about how he could become a believer and how he could go to heaven to the party. He was invited to the party. And he very coolly just said, no, I don't want to quit doing the things that I'm doing. He said, no, I'm not ready for that. I don't want to have to change. It was a very soul-crushing moment for me. But over the years after that, I've thought back to his answer and come to the realization that he probably understands the Christian life better than most Christians. Because even as an unsaved person, he understood that if I'm invited to the party, I've got to put on the wedding robe. I've got to change my lifestyle change my behavior, change what I say and what I do and what I don't say and what I don't do. Jesus has invited all of us to get down, to have a good time, to have life to the full. We didn't do anything to deserve it. We didn't buy it. We didn't earn it. We just were found out in the streets by some of his servants. And they said, come. And we came. And Jesus just says, I hope you get the love and the mercy that's being shown to you. And I hope that that love and mercy inspires you to live life faithfully. Let us pray. Oh God, help us to respond to your love with love, to your actions with our actions, to your heart with our hearts, so that we might be not only saved, but that we might also call you Lord. That we might not only be Christian, but also be disciples. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. We invite you to respond to God's word this morning as we sing together our hymn of response, Precious Lord, Take My Hand. If you are able, would you stand? As we go, may the Lord's servants find you in the street with light, and may that light guide you to the party, and may you party faithfully in obedience to Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.